as a young child, watching your mom just absolutely wreck shop at work every day, and then, and that's your family dynamic, like, that's hugely formative. That's big.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast here in Austin, Texas right now. Yes, celebrating women in tech around the world. And I have an amazing woman in tech here for a company that I am personally stoked and passionate about called Scribe Media. It used to be Book in a Box, and it helps authors finish their books, led by an incredible executive team. I'll let Megan get all into it. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. Let's do the formal introduction. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do. And then I'm going to geek out and ask you all the questions.
Amazing. I'm Megan McCracken. I'm the head of manuscript at Scribe Media. And what I do basically, I do a lot of stuff, but what I do is I explain to people that I make sure the books get published and I make sure that they are good. So that's my job. And I come up with a lot of processes and ways to make the books better, ways to make our process better. But what we do as a company is essentially we turn people's ideas into books. We help them get their books finished on the page, beautifully designed, like amazingly published, and get them out into the world.
And what is your involvement specifically in the tech world? How do you integrate tech into your role?
Yeah, so I come from a tech background. I was one of those kids who grew up like designing websites when HTML was still a tiny little thing no one knew about. And I did not ever study computer science or tech, but I became a tech writer and then a software engineer in my 20s. And I did that for a while. I worked for some big companies, and I did everything from tech writing, content design, UX design, really worked in that for a while. And then I went back to my first passion of writing and went in with Book in a Box, now Scribe.
And when you say tech writing, you mean as a journalist?
No. So, okay, funny story, actually. That's what I thought tech writing was when I first got into tech writing. And someone had a job posting for a tech writing job. And I thought, well, I'm a writer and I know about tech, so I'll be great for this job. And I sort of just like vamped my way into this position. That's not what tech writing is. It's like a whole specified discipline where you essentially have to mine developers' brains for exactly how a product works and then translate that into very accessible language that is going to teach other people how to use the project or internally make sure the internal teams are all aligned on the project.
And I imagine you use really sexy software to document all that?
Yeah, super sexy. Yes, XML software is the sexiest of software. Yeah, Oxygen XML editor is the greatest. No, not really.
And how did you teach yourself how to be a software engineer? Where did that journey start?
It's one of those things where, so my older brother is a really accomplished architect, and he is also self-taught. We were like kids messing around on like DOS when we were like little right? kids. And we just, I don't know, it's always something that we've kind of done on the side. And basically, when I got into tech writing, I realized pretty quickly that I was going to need to learn some programming languages to be able to understand fully what the developers were talking about so that I could do my job.
Right.
So I taught myself a lot of different languages and just kind of went from there. And it's fun. I don't know if you've ever done programming, but like the whole learn to code movement is awesome. It's really fun to learn to code. It's really fun to sit around and just solve problems all day in code.
One interesting thing about saying that, like, it's just interesting to learn how to code is, yes, I've had, I think it was, what is, learn 5 minute rail. I don't remember. Some like, hit program, 5 month rails, whatever. I tried something what I asked myself, because I'm really interested in the programming world and coding, what I asked myself is, do I want to become a coder? Do I want to become an engineer? If I don't, coding is constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. If I don't want to keep up with it, like a doctor needs to keep up with the health of the body, it's not right for me. So I asked myself, of all the things out there, what do I feel the biggest affinity for? What lines up with my personality? And when I address that I don't want to keep up with the evolving changes of coding, I kind of let it go.
Yeah, I had not exactly the same experience, but when I started working at Scribe full time, I really gave up a lot of the continuing learning, continuing skill building that I was doing, because you're exactly right. It changes so fast.
Yeah.
You can't like sit back and take a break on your skills when it comes to code. So I did when I started at Scribe, and I within like 4 months, I had a friend at work who was like, "Hey, do you want to? I'm doing this cool thing, and it's this cool tool that I'm building. Do you want to see it?" And I remember looking at it and going, "Oh, I can't really make heads or tails of this anymore." It goes so quickly. Yeah, so you really have to decide to be in it, like be a programmer, like really live it, or not. And I was fine moving on because my passion is really writing and books and media of all kinds. And I never lost, though, the part of tech that I loved, which is just problem solving.
Yeah.
That's what I love to do the most. And that's what I've continuously done.
I love problems. So I think as like female founders, that's what we need to be best at, solving problems all day long. Why do you love being part of the Scribe culture so much? I watched your video on your team, practically multiple staff mates crying on this video, how in love they are with Scribe. I was really moved.
I was moved when I saw it. That's kind of the environment that we have when we have we have summits twice a year. A lot of our team is remote. They live outside of Austin, which I hate because I wish they lived next door to me all the time. Yeah. I love them so much. And so twice a year we get together in Austin. We have that exact sort of love fest environment at our summit. We talk about what we're doing well. We talk about what we need to improve. We do like personal development building all together. And those summits and just the constant dedication to our culture principles, which we have in this public – have you seen the culture doc?
No, I haven't.
There's a public Google Doc that Tucker wrote. It's a just an outlining of our values and principles that we as a company adhere to, that we all inhabit and live by. And it's live on the web. There's like thousands of comments on it from people on the internet just reading it and going, wow, this is interesting. Or people who are like, I don't agree with this, explain, which is even more awesome. But we all basically make a commitment to live the culture doc. And when someone violates a principle, someone's on Slack going, hey, man, that's not right. That's not how we do things. So we really protect it.
You guys have a podcast too.
Yeah. Author Hour with Charlie Hone.
I love Charlie. Okay, yes. I've known Charlie for years.
He's a wonderful human.
And he has a baby and a family.
The most adorable baby. The most adorable wife. Charlie does Author Hour, our podcast. And the production value of Author Hour is bonkers. It's so good. It sounds like an NPR podcast. It's so awesome. And all of the authors that he interviews on this podcast are authors that we've done books with. And as head of manuscript, I've pretty much read all of these books. I've seen that, made sure that they went through the process really well, that they came out great. And even knowing every word of what's in those books, I listen to this podcast and I'm hanging on every word. I love it so much. It's so good.
And that goes back. So Tucker had another podcast that I loved, and it was about helping men date more effectively. I can't remember, but I listened to almost every episode. And that's when I think Charlie got involved. He would like guest host sometimes.
Co-host. Yeah. They had been friends for a while, but
But it was so great.
Yeah.
It was dating advice for men, but I got a lot out of it as a female.
I totally agree. I told Tucker that way back that I had listened to it kind of a few years after it came out, but I found it. And as a woman, as like a younger dating woman, single woman, I was so impressed and refreshed with the just like basic breakdown of men and women and like what's going on here. And guys, yeah. it's about just relating to humans and building relationships. Totally. There's no game to be played. I found that so amazing and refreshing, especially from coming from a man. Like yeah. you don't hear that much. I thought yeah. it was great.
So I want to get into a little bit because I'm so excited about so many things about Scribe, and it's why I wanted to have you on as a woman in tech representing this like company that seems to have, from my outsider perspective, an outstanding company culture led by what I believe to be a really forward-thinking tech innovator and just businessman that is humble enough to know where his weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And there's just so – like someone who understands marketing, like all the things that it takes to run a successful tech company, and we're usually missing a piece. I feel like Scribe – is that full circle, like, is almost like a Zappos in a way of an example. Zappos was an example to the business world, or like 37 Signals now Basecamp was an example to the business world, how to run a rad company,
yeah.
like a truly rad 360 company. I feel like Scribe is in the process of being that too, where people should look to Scribe to see how to build an amazing company. And one of the things that I'd like to address is if somebody looks up Tucker, they see like Tucker, who's the founder, but he like demoted himself or something.
Okay, he fired himself. He didn't demote yeah. himself. He fired himself.
It's so crazy. I want you to get into all that. But he has a little bit of a sprinkled background when it comes to like supporting women, which I don't think that that's true. Like, obviously, you guys, I'm doing Book in the Box / Scribe. Like, I'm excited. I yeah. can't wait to learn from them. So can you just for like literally 10, 30 seconds dispel all negativity related to women not liking Tucker?
That would be hilarious to attempt. I think the best way to put it is like people grow. People change. And there's like a continuum of creative output that people, especially when people are writers. It's always funny to me when someone brings up like, oh, you're a woman and you work with Tucker. And what's that like? And I'm like, what do you mean? I have no, there's no part of me that like takes pause to that because, I mean, I'm a writer. You're a writer. Yeah. You understand the difference between or you understand what it is to be a writer and to be capturing like a time and a place and a slice yeah. of life. And that's, you know, that's, I really feel that's what his writing background represents. It's a time and a place. It's a really beautifully rendered look at this specific moment in this person's life and what it meant yeah. to be a man at that time yeah. in that exact environment.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, that people like to then totally. Build on that.
Totally.
And, but I mean, as far as just, It's so funny to me actually hearing people say like, oh, as a, you know, as a woman and his support of women, I don't, literally don't think I've ever met anyone in my life more supportive of women. And yep. the top leadership positions at our company at Scribe are held by women. Yep. So it's always funny to me when this comes up and I'm very bewildered, but not naively so. Like right. I understand what people think, but it's like, whatever. We do good work. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and I see, I don't know personally, but from my, again, perception, it just seems like he's an amazing, like a dedicated husband and father and all the things
oh my God,
to
yeah.
make him like a good human. And I think it's just an example of a marketer and an author who wrote something really, really effectively to create change and impact in whatever way. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How many of us wish we could create a piece of content that so many people either resonate with or want to talk about to make something successful? That is
yeah.
hard to do.
It's very hard to do. It's yeah. hard to do. It's not only hard to do, it's hard to do well. It's hard to do in a way that remains impactful. For whatever,
yeah.
for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, it's, you know, millions of copies sold.
Yeah. And I think I'm so excited to learn from him. And again, getting back to, I think Scribe is a company to watch as an example company of how to build a strong company. Can you talk about the leadership of women in tech and women in the company and talk about, you know, like me. You're getting to solve my dream. I was just called an author for the first time in an email to you the other day. Tucker's like, meet one of our authors. I was like, I've never been called an author before. And it's been my dream since I was a little girl.
Well, you are. You're an author.
It's really exciting. And I've been writing, just to be clear, I've been writing since I was a school editor of my high school paper. I created my junior high school magazine. I studied. I was in a journalism program at Cal Poly. I've been a business journalist. I've written ebooks. Never once in my life, I graduated college with a creative writing degree. Never once in my life have I been called an author or felt that I was an author until that moment. And all I've ever wanted to be my whole life is an author. And I don't know. I grew up with writing in tech, but I've been labeled as a tech person.
Yeah. It's so funny. That's been exactly my experience too. And I can always tell, you can always tell other like true writers, not people who kind of kick around and write blogs occasionally, but people who are writers, because they always say that it's the thing that they've always done. And when I was in like college and I was trying a bunch of different things, I majored in a bunch of stuff. And I finally was like, well, what have you always done?
Yeah.
Always, your entire life, no matter what was going on, you were always doing this thing, and it was writing. So I did a creative writing degree. And then all through my 20s, I tried all these different jobs. I mean, I have had every job.
Yeah,
like I've
I
done
get
so
it.
Many different things. And always, always I was writing in the background, just reams and reams of output. And that's what a writer is. You write. That's the difference between people who call themselves a writer. They're like, oh, I love to write, and people who are writers. And
it's so cool.
It's just that one little step of then having a published thing with your name on it.
Yeah.
Having a published book with your name on it. And
it's so exciting. And you guys are making that possible for me. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about just the women leadership, and then let's go back and like talk about your personal journey, because that's why you're here. But I can't get enough of how important I think this company is for so many reasons. Just so many, like Zappos and Basecamp, formerly 37 Signals, were pivotal in so many of the tech companies formed and how they developed culture, how they developed operations. To have another example company like that, and not only like that, but a company that openly supports, you know, women in leadership and just everything. It's so exciting. I want to talk about all of it.
Yeah,
my passion is like oozing out of this room.
The Zappos example is a really good one, because a lot of the books that we help authors write are like in the business space, they're in the entrepreneur space. There are a lot of them about scaling businesses, a lot of them about culture, about startups.
Yeah.
And a consistent example that comes up from authors when they're talking about culture is Zappos. And it took me a few times of seeing that in manuscripts and seeing that as the main example before I thought, wow, I believe 100%, not an exaggeration, that's going to be us in a matter of years, because the culture that we've built and that we so fiercely protect and stand by is so – it's honestly revolutionary.
Yeah.
It's like nothing I've ever been in. And I've worked for like the big software companies, you know, that like claim that culture is their – oh, this is our founding.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just not.
I have never – I mean, not that I'm stalking company videos, but I've never, ever – seen a company video, and you guys will include it in the show notes, that had employees fiercely passionate, on the verge of tears and some even crying, on what a positive impact working for Scribe makes on their life.
Oh gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Never have I seen something like that. That was and it was genuine. It wasn't script. It was just phenomenal.
It's we are genuine about it. We're so genuine. A good example is when I came on full time for Scribe. So I'd been working in a freelance capacity as a freelance writer for the company almost since it started, way, way back. And I came on full time. And when I was talking to our CEO, JT McCormick, who, by the way, is the greatest human on earth. I just have to plug JT, the greatest person ever. But when I was talking to him about just like, what's my role going to look like? What are you going to have me do? I was coming from software. I was coming from IBM. And, you know, software salaries they're pretty inflated, I think.
Yeah.
They're kind of like grades at Ivies. Like, you're going to get A's because that's what they do.
Right.
And it's the same at software companies. Like, salaries are big.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to be taking a pay cut. And I was fine with that because not only was the culture so insane, and I'd already experienced it just being a freelancer, but also we're a completely bootstrap company. We have no VC. Right. We're told it's us.
Like Basecamp.
Yeah.
It's totally us. Like Basecamp.
That for me, I'm someone who like I own a business. I've worked in business before. I've worked in consulting. I have an MBA. Like that, I hear that from a CEO. Oh, we're bootstrapped. I'm like, say no more. I'm done. I'm there. That's incredible. But after 6 months of being there, I realized that I would have paid the amount of money that I took as a pay cut to come onto this startup. I would have paid double that in personal development courses for what I got out of the company after 6 months. The person I was when I joined and the person I am now, it's like light years worth of growth. It's incredible.
I know at some points it may sound like to the listener that we're not talking about women in tech specifically, but but we are. And here's how. You're talking about culture. Mm-hmm. What do I hear about in women in tech job descriptions left and right? Companies don't understand us. They don't understand culture. They don't know how to communicate to women. And you're saying, hey, here's a company that communicated the culture and communicated to me in a way that I resonated with, that I wanted to work with them, and that I even feel even more immersely passionate about it now having worked with – how long have you worked with Scribe now?
It's almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Like – this is what I'm talking about. This is an example of how to attract women in tech. Yeah. Know how to communicate to us.
Yeah. There are really, and honestly, that's not an accident. There are really specific language and wording choices that we just assiduously avoid. Things like be a rock star marketing guru, like stuff like that. We're not going to put that in our job ad because that is, I mean, pandering and dumb, and it attracts the wrong people. And so we language all of our job ads to really carefully attract the type of people that we know are going to be culture fits. They're going to understand that our culture is, number one, results-oriented.
Yeah.
That's huge. I think that also is, for me, that's the one holdover from tech that I see between the two cultures is that when you work in tech, I mean, it's results oriented. You need to get your stuff done at the end of the day. You got to get it done. And that's true with us, too. We've had people who are like literally beautiful humans, amazing people that we love dearly that weren't getting results. And that's in our culture doc. You have to get results. So finding people that are going to fit with the culture of not only are you from a human standpoint, going to fit in really well and going to protect and build this culture as much as we do, but you're also like a freaking hustler. You're going to get results. You're really insanely smart, insanely motivated, self-motivated, incredible growth mindset. These are all the ingredients that we're looking for. And we very carefully word all of our communication, all of our job ads to try to attract those people.
And you said that women in leadership is really important to the company. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
You know, the answer is yes and no. Yes, it is something that we are proud of that many of the top leadership positions are held by women at our company. But it's not something that we set out with the intention to do. We literally had no – there's no moment where we said, okay, well, we need to have a woman in a top slot. We need to find a way to make that happen. It's like, no, we don't find
you
a way to
best
make
candidate.
It happen. Naturally create a culture where equality is the base. And it's like that and, you know, it's like that the This Is Water speech where you don't even notice it because you're just in it. It's just like the foundation of our culture. Yeah. So there's never a moment where we're like, oh no, let's focus on gender diversity. Like it just happens because that's the environment we've created.
And you said Tucker fired himself.
Oh yeah.
What's that mean?
Literally fired himself. So like it means what it says. He was the CEO. He's a co-founder and he was the CEO and they started doing a book with JT McCormick. And JT came to us as an author. And about, you know, I don't know, a little ways into JT's author experience, you know, Tucker was having, you know, some difficulties nailing being a CEO, let's put it that way. And JT is just a savant. He's a business savant. There's no other way
What's
to put
it. What's his background?
His background is he came from Headspring and like top executive position there and has had a background of just very quickly accelerating to top leadership positions everywhere he's been because he just has an instinct for not only people, but business and how to make things grow and scale. Yeah. He's also incredibly well-educated in business. This is someone who lives and breathes like business news and reading about companies and knowing every little history point of every company he's interested in. So incredibly well-read. And he came to us as an author and, you know, Tucker was like, hey, dude, tell me everything I'm doing wrong. help me figure this out.
Yeah.
And JT was like, okay, do you want to know? Like, I'll tell you. And just send him this long, like, I don't know, 500 point list of, hey, here are the things that you need to improve. These are the things that are really going to make your business not grow, not scale. And long story short, Tucker was like, come be CEO. And that's what happened. So Tucker was like, I can see from this guy that I am not equipped for this role. I will never be equipped for this role. I mean, never say never, maybe someday in the future, but to grow this company, I'm not the one to do it. We need a CEO who can do this. And JT came in and became our CEO.
And I think that says a lot about his character and his willingness to be vulnerable and define his weaknesses.
Oh, yeah.
Before we move on from talking completely about Scribe, one thing that I think is important. So I'm friends with Tony Shea from Zappos. Yeah. And years ago at South by Southwest here in Austin, I was on the Delivering Happiness bus, his book title name, and his tour manager said, Esprit, you have to write a book. See, this goes back like to 2009, 2010. It's ridiculous. You have to write a book. That's what's going to elevate your career. That's what you need to do. So I remember that was the first moment, and I'm going to say this really lightly, quote unquote, that I took writing a book really seriously. But again, like this is like 8 years ago, and that's when I'm like, like Tony's guy says, like, he essentially said, if you write a book, I can create a whole tour schedule for you, right? Yeah. How insane is that? I have this amazingly influential friend have someone on his team say, I could help you, like, elevate if you have a book. And I still don't finish the book until I find, you know, Book in a Box and now Scribe. And so the reason why I want to address that is I'm going to ask a question and it leads back to this. Have you been on a podcast before?
I actually used to do a podcast.
Oh, we have to talk about that. Okay, but I have a point. But so you used to do a podcast. Have you been on someone else's podcast?
Never.
Oh, this is your first one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So most women in tech I've interviewed, and I've interviewed hundreds of women in tech, have never been on a podcast before, which makes me feel so elated to be able to give you a platform to share your story. And I'm also stunned that they've never been on a podcast. I'm like, why isn't anyone asking? You know, like, and so if you truly want, and I think this is important for our community, you truly want to elevate your presence, and your presence is worthy, and you are enough, and you do have something to share, I think reaching out to Scribe to write a book about your experience being a woman in tech and having their guidance, like I'm doing. I'm not saying this because Megan's sitting in front of me. I am signed up and fucking excited out of my mind to be a part of the Scribe program. It's like a year accountability program. I can't wait. I'm here in Austin. I get to physically meet with this seasoned team and really make my dreams possible. And I can't tell you. It's my mom hasn't seen me this excited in so long. She's like, I don't get it, but great, you know? This is what we need to do. Be on the Women in Tech podcast, write a book, share your story, and like make sure you have the right team in place to make sure you're not like me and it's not 10 years later before you're getting your book out there, because literally there's no reason other than, you know, not having the right accountability in place that I didn't write a book within even 48 hours from the time that I was first told I can truly help elevate your career by someone on Tony Shea's team, you know, like a gazillion-dollar company acquired by Amazon, and I still didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so just with that pause, like where – for people to explore more to see what they're talking about, that what I'm a part of, where can they go?
Yeah, go to our website, scribemedia.com, and there's a bunch of different options that we have. The one that you're doing, our guided author program, I mean, it's – It's honestly amazing. I mean, this is our fourth one. It's honestly, it's so great. I've worked with, at this point, hundreds of authors to help them write their books, help them get their books out there. I've watched them get published. I've watched those, like, beautiful champagne moments where they're, like, holding their book and handing it to their kid and popping the champagne. But truly, the guided author program, where I'm in the room with someone side by side, showing them how to craft a beautiful journey and narrative out of their personal story, and just watching that moment where it clicks for them, I have a story to tell. That story is valuable. People are going to be inspired by it.
Yeah.
That's an amazing moment. It's one of my favorite parts of my job, and it's available to everyone. Everyone's got a story.
Totally. And just to be really clear, this is not sponsored. I am paying my own money for the program. I'm that excited about it. And just so you understand, because it's something that I had to understand myself in signing up, not only do they hold me accountable, it's not just accountability, and it's not just with meeting with seasoned editors, like what were some of the publishers, like from Harper's Bazaar or something? Like,
we have editors from Harper and Simon & Schuster and Penguin,
really reputable editors. They guide me and help me co-create my book, and then they help guide me to distribute the book, market the book, like all the things. Like, there's nothing, the book cover, there is nothing left out, meaning I finally get to achieve my dream that I have had since I'm a little girl, where I literally will have a gorgeous book to like do whatever and they guide you how to utilize that to even elevate your career in the way that makes sense for you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean the whole thing is extraordinary. So now past that commercial break that, again, like, I have not been paid for. I am proudly paying to be a part of an incredible program. Let's dive back in to why you're here in the first place, which is your passion for technology. Did you have tech growing up at home?
Yeah. So we were like early computer adopters, early internet adopters. I grew up in LA, pretty much like right in the middle of the entertainment industry. My mom is a TV producer. So
I'm in LA.
I grew up in Burbank.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were kind of like early tech adopters, had computers, personal home computers. Pretty much like late 80s, like pretty early, I think, for most homes. We had internet right away. Went through all the phases of internet, you know, dial up through all the phases of broadband. And I remember actually really clearly when we got a CD-ROM enabled computer, and like my friends at school were like, oh my God, this is the way of the future, right? But we were kind of early adopters, and I would not have gotten into coding at all if it weren't for my mom and my brother, who were both, they're just really curious people who are interested
in... Your mom and your brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting that it's your mom, too.
Yeah, yeah. My mom still works in tech to this day. She is a marketing manager for a huge education software company.
Nice.
They kind of got me a little bit into coding. I was never really into actual programming. I was really into HTML. I was like really into making websites. And when I was like 10 or 11, like really like, you know, very, very early, really awful fan websites for random movies that I liked. Yeah. And yeah. So, and I just kind of always kept that up because it's really fun to just sit and code stuff. I remember so clearly when CSS became a thing and me being just like abhorrently opposed to this. Just like, this is dumb. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Just code it right into the page. Like, why would you do? And then obviously now it's like there's no escaping it. You have to know it. But I kind of always did it. I never planned to work in tech. Like I said, I really bluffed my way into my first tech job.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what it was. And it grew from there.
Where are you formally educated about tech, or did you seek out your own resource are you self-taught?
Yeah, totally self-taught. My formal education is a degree in medieval poetry. I studied like Beowulf through college. That's what I did. I really thought I wanted to like go be an academic at Oxford and just like read dusty books my whole life. And that turned out not to be what I wanted.
Well, actually, They're not dusty, but you do get to read books your whole life.
I do. I get to read books my whole life. Lots of reading and writing. Yeah, and then I got into tech writing because I had been doing business writing. Right. I got an MBA, and I was like, okay, well, I know how to write. I'll write business plans for people. I was working for a company in Portland that that wrote business plans for startups. That's where I got actually a ton of startup just like knowledge.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, kind of like 2008 happened. Everyone lost their jobs.
Yeah.
I didn't have a job. I'm in Portland like working as a, you know, bespoke mixologist clown girl. Like it's very Portland. Like you don't have real jobs there. And I mean, maybe today, no offense to Portland. but back then you didn't. And yeah, my brother and his wife were living in Canada and they had a job in an engineering lab. And they said, you know, you know how to write stuff and you know tech pretty well. Do you want to come out and do some tech writing? And I was like, sure, of course, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then I met with the professor who was running the whole lab and he was like, okay, so how much do you know about MRIs? And I was like, I know everything about MRIs. And I just like learned about MRIs and then moved to Canada and worked on basically like in an optical engineering lab. And we invented a lot of like medical tech for about a year. And then the weather drove me back. I'm a California girl at heart.
So to pause on that thought, though, for a second, you did something very unusual to our community, which is typically on like based on statistics or whatever you want to base it on, in theory, however you want to call it. If you give two people a job opportunity, both a guy and a girl, and they both don't know how to do it, the guy will be like, yeah, I'll take it and then figure it out. And then they're going like, let me learn how to do it first and then say yes. Now, you did what the stories go, the guys usually do. I think that's awesome. I think it's really important for us to become aware that we sometimes make decisions in that way so that we could counteract it. What gave you the courage to just say, yep, I got ROIs on – I mean ROIs, MRIs on lockdown?
Yeah, I've said this before to other people. I don't think I've ever been qualified for any job I've ever gotten, like truly. And it's not like I'm walking around bluffing my way into things. I mean I am a little. But I don't know. I think it's the confidence of knowing that I am smart. I know how to figure things out. I have not really had a lot of experiences where I've failed to figure things out. So throw something at me and I'll probably figure it out. I'll need I'll need to go to school a little bit. I'll need to do some work.
Yeah.
But I'll make it happen. I'll make it go.
Yeah.
And I'd already had a few of those experiences, but I mean, I was also really lucky. I was raised by parents who were just instilled me with insane confidence in myself. So yeah, I think it's a mix of confidence and then also like just knowing, hey, you'll figure it out. You'll be able to figure this out. I'm not going to go bluff my way into a job as like a trauma surgeon because I can't figure that out. And I know that. But if I know enough of the pieces and someone says, hey, this job requires that you solve these problems.
Right.
I'm confident enough in my ability to solve problems that all it is at that point is just learning the vocab, understanding how the pieces fit together, and then I can solve the problems.
I love it. You said that your parents instilled confidence into you. I think it would be great for all the women in tech moms listening. What are a couple of tips that your parents did that were really effective in you developing that?
Well, it's funny. There's a lot I could say. I think a big one was for women especially I was always pushed in the direction, or not pushed, but guided in the direction of, you know, what are your unique abilities? What are your unique capabilities that are going to allow you to do great things? And I was never guided in the direction of, like, what do your looks have to do with it? You know? And right. Not that my parents were like, you know, like, never gave me a compliment.
Right.
But I don't think there was ever a moment in my childhood where something came down to how I looked. And it just...
Or who you are, gender. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, my value to other people as a woman rather than my value as a capable human.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot. And then I think, honestly, that the huge, huge formative thing for me in my childhood was the fact that my mom was the breadwinner. She was like an absolute baller producer who then decided she didn't want to do production anymore, didn't like Hollywood anymore, and wanted to go work in tech. Her passion was tech. Her passion was web development and taught herself web design and development and became a baller in that industry. So like as a young child, watching your mom just absolutely wreck shop at work every day and then and that's your family dynamic, like that's hugely formative. That's big.
That's awesome. And what do you say is an obstacle that was really difficult to overcome, but that you successfully overcame? And what did you learn from it?
Like in my career?
Yeah.
I would say the obstacle that is a real kick in the teeth that if you work in tech will happen at some point is the inevitable getting laid off scenario, which just happens. You know, they'll hire a bunch of contractors to, you know, implement something and then they get rid of them. Yeah. And so that feeling of, oh, I'm on a team and that feels great. I love teams. Yeah. I love working with people. I love who I'm here with. We're doing awesome stuff. And then having that all be swept away sort of unceremoniously, it feels like the team was a lie, which then calls into question the work that you did. So reorienting yourself, having that happen to me a few times in tech, which it just happens so much, I think.
Right.
If anything, it was a bit of a blessing in disguise because it taught me very quickly that I don't form allegiance to a company or to a team. I form allegiance to myself. I'm a business of one, and I am a business that can then be leveraged to help solve problems for other companies, but it starts with me. And the first few times that happens, like, it's a real kick in the teeth. You wake up the morning after being laid off and your entire landscape of your life has changed. And yes, of course, you can go find another job very quickly. I never had a problem finding another job, but just the it's almost like the loss of that dream of like, oh, I'm on a team. And honestly, not to keep plugging the crap out of Scribe, but
that, no, me too.
For me, that was the big thing. When I came to Scribe, it was suddenly like that dream that I had from adolescence through college of like working on an incredibly dedicated family-like team of wonderful people who like support each other and do amazing things. And our work is so important and we believe in it. That had been almost kind of demolished for me working in tech. And I found it again at Scribe. And that's one of the reasons I'm so like, I feel just immensely excited every day to go to work. And honestly, lucky is the wrong word because I worked my ass off, but I do. I feel lucky.
I forgot to ask, how large is Scribe? When was it created? It used to be called Book in a Box. It's now Scribe. Why did they change the company name?
Yeah, we're about 4 years old, and we started really small. They were working on a picnic table in Tucker's penthouse on Rainy Street, and grew really quickly. Went from the picnic table into the WeWork that's up like in the middle of – it's the WeWork up north. And we were in the WeWork moved from one WeWork office, quickly outgrew that to another WeWork office, outgrew that. At that point, it was like 15 of us crammed into this little space. And, I mean, you've met some of us. We're all pretty big personalities. So it was like it got heated sometimes. it got distracting. And that's when we got into our own office. By the time we got into our office last year, we have our own office space now. We were at, I should know the answer to this off the top of my head because I was the head of people at the time, but I don't remember. We were in the 20s, I think. We were in the upper 20s. Yeah. And now we're in the mid 30s of full-time Tribe members.
How do you keep the company culture so connective? I feel at 30, and it gets even harder as you grow, but I feel like past 5 or 10 is...
Yeah, it's interesting to watch actually the stages of exactly that phenomenon where you are like this super close, cohesive team, and then you grow a little bit beyond that. You grow it a little bit. And so you have to find new ways to keep everyone really connected.
Yeah.
And then you'll reach a saturation point there and you have to bust through. That's happened to us a couple times. We're in the middle of one right now where we're at the point where now like everyone doesn't know everything that's happening all the time. That's kind of a big thing to swallow when you've been in a company where every decision, everything that's happening, we all know about, we all talk about it. That's not possible anymore. We've got too many people.
Yeah.
So we do a really careful and intentional job of keeping all of our remote people with us.
Yeah.
If, you know, in spirit, if not physically at all times. We use Slack to the hilt. We are like our company runs on Slack. And I think that's a big part of it. I feel like I'm in the room with everyone at all times. And we make really also really special efforts to show the remote tribe members, like, hey, we're thinking about you all the time. We made this hilarious little video for them at one summit where we gave each of them like a special shout out, but there was also like a comedy piece where Tucker didn't know any of their names, and it was hilarious. It was really good. And we make an effort to make them all feel very included and very special. But then honestly, I talk to all of them every day. Our work is busy. It's a lot. It's just a lot. So I talk to all of them.
Who works remote? Who works in-house?
It's definitely more than half of us now. It used to be more remote than in Austin. It's now well more than half of us are in Austin. And most of the people who are remote are publishing managers.
Yeah.
Because they're real. If they lived in Austin, and some of them do, they wouldn't be at the office anyway. They'd likely be at home. They're the ones who are on the phone with authors, like shepherding their project all day long. So they've got lots of different calls, and they're, you know, calling the book printers to make sure that that's going well. They're on the phone with the designers to make sure that's going well. So it's a lot of calls and a lot of corralling, and there's no need for them to be in the office. Anyone who's a department head or in a leadership position is in Austin.
And before we wrap up, your favorite software tools?
Oh my gosh.
You brought up Slack.
I just said Slack, but honestly, I think Slack is genius. It's bringing back all the awesome stuff from 90s chat rooms and like making it possible for us to run a business. We incorporated it into the business that I own here in Austin, even though we have a team of like 8 people, but it's so great. So I would say Slack. And then I don't really have any other favorite tools.
Wait, business that you own here in Austin, you haven't talked about that at all.
Yeah, I own a yoga studio here in Austin.
Nice.
It's
and you have a team of 8.
Yeah, we've got about 8 teachers, and
that's not a small thing.
It's not a small thing.
How cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. There last night. Yeah.
How long has that existed?
We are in our 4th year. Yeah, yeah.
That's still amazing.
Open. Every day I wake up and I'm like, are we still open?
And I love to ask everybody this, but it's going to be extra special and extra difficult asking this. Your favorite book, personal and professional, or either one?
Oh, yeah. My favorite book, it's on the Scribe website. It's The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury.
I was worried asking you that. Say it again.
The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. It's the book that I pick up when I'm writing my own stuff. When I write my own stuff, like the stuff I write for my job is nonfiction. It's good. It's good stuff, but it's nonfiction. When I write my own stuff, it is like the pulpiest of sci-fi. It is like genre-fic to the extreme. And when I need to feel really inspired, especially from a language and like a poetic standpoint, that's the book I read.
Where people who would like to explore working with Scribe, where should they go?
Go to our website, scribemedia.com. We've got right there, front page, our director of operations, Brittany, most beautiful woman alive. And there's a big button that says join our tribe. And you click on that button and it takes you to a page just all about us, about what we believe. It shows you our culture doc. It shows you our open positions. We are currently looking for a role called author marketing manager, which is for someone who's into marketing, into PR, very good at the hustle, amazing with people, and lives in Austin. That's important.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And where can people connect with you online?
I don't really have an online presence. I'm not on social media.
I'm jealous.
I don't really do social.
Or email or anything you're comfortable or LinkedIn or anything you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I have a LinkedIn that I rarely look at. You can look at that. My email address is megan@scribemedia.com, and I take any and all emails.
And can you spell it?
Yeah, megan@scribemedia, so scribemedia.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech Podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It was amazing and letting me fangirl out on Scribe and just everything. I think it's so great. Honestly, when we were saying that we don't think a lot of women like put themselves out there on the podcast or writing their book because we're just trying to juggle so many things. And so I think this has been a really important interview. If you want to say hello at Women in Tech Show on social, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, or go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, womenintechvip.com takes you straight there. I will see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
I'm Megan McCracken, head of manuscript at Scribe Media. At Scribe, we help authors turn their ideas into books and get those books published and out into the world. We're based in Austin, Texas. You're listening to Women in Tech.
Impact Hub here in Austin, Texas has been our home. We want to give a huge thanks to making it possible for us to comfortably meet and interview several inspiring women in tech. They have the most collaborative workspace, incredible events, beautiful design, a hammock in their backyard. What? It's an incredible space. You have to check it out if you're in Austin. Thank you so much for being a part of the Women in Tech journey. Be sure to go to impacthubaustin.com to get your free day of co-working. I want to give a huge thanks to the team at SpyCloud. SpyCloud protects your employee and customer information from breaches and account takeovers. Try SpyCloud's early warning breach detection platform. SpyCloud made it possible for us to meet with several women in tech here in Austin, Texas, and I am so thankful that they have been part of the Women in Tech podcast journey. Get protected today by going to spycloud.com. That's SPYCLOUD.com.